Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori & Murat, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. They do it all. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow, we're out and about and on the road for a Friday field trip. We are going to be at Pupitella. We were at the Chantilly location. We were there once last year, and we had a blast. A lot of listeners came out. The food was amazing. Now, it's going to be a tough day for you and I to eat healthy. I'm just going to say that in advance.
This is not one of those easy ones, right?
Because not only are they going to give us pizza and fried dough and just a bunch of amazing, delicious, great things.
The appies.
But it's going to come out in droves. Copious amounts of it all day long. It's so nice of them that they spoil us so much. It's just what they do, man.
It's what they do. They know hospitality. The mimosa. Nobody understands. I'm not talking about the beverage with the champagne and the orange juice.
My wife's familiar with that.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. It's the name of one of their pizzas. I'm telling you, you have to try it. It's got corn on it. And you're going, no, that doesn't work. No. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It went from we were going to have one mimosa to try. I keep referencing this flag football team party. They couldn't bring out enough mimosas. The adults were raving. They're raving about it. It's so good. I'm going to pummel a mimosa by myself.
I'm not familiar with their work.
You know that one. You know the mimosa.
I don't think I do.
You do. It's the one with the ham and the corn, and it's on a pizza crust, and it's perfect.
Maybe I've seen it.
You've eaten it.
But as you can imagine, I'm so busy eating all the other amazing things that I already know about.
Mm-hmm. You've eaten that one, I promise you. I brought it in here for the boys.
But I probably pummeled the meat pizza.
You had the Caivano.
A lot of the Caivano.
You're a Caivano guy.
Lead the league in Caivano.
Yeah, your first team all Caivano.
We'll see you there tomorrow from 2 to 6:30 at Pupitella in Chantilly. I saw a clip from Sean McVay I want to play on the show. McVay, who has done a great job masking injuries this year offensively for the Rams, he does what I am begging Cliff Kingsbury to do. And I'm going to first acknowledge, Kingsbury's dealt with way more injuries, way more cluster injuries at positions. But Sean McVay, week to week, completely changes how he operates. For the first 4 weeks of the season, the Rams never lined up with 3 tight ends. For the last month of the season, nobody runs 13 personnel with 3 tight ends more than he does. Nobody. But week to week, based on matchup, based on injuries, based on who's available to him and who isn't, they run a completely different looking offense. The only consistent theme week to week is how good Matt Stafford looks in that offense.
Yep.
But this is what he had to say about injuries and coaching around them, something that I thought was fitting with what Washington's going through.
I think the first thing is, you know, one of the things that can sometimes be a blessing in disguise that we talked about is how do you create authentic value for everybody and maximize their skill sets? And by nature of being able to utilize, if you got a jersey up on game day, if you're one of those 48, how can we maximize it? I think our defense has done a really good job of that. And then I think the offense, you know, our guys on offense have done a really good job. And every single week, you know, we're tasked as a coaching staff. How do we maximize our player skill sets? How do we put them in situations to give them successful outcomes? And then you take into consideration the opponent and the scheme that we're going against. But the more that you have to defend, the more eligibles that get involved in the pass game. I love the way Matthew's spreading the football around, and he's just taking what the defense gives him. And, oh, by the way, you have the luxury of having two premier players like Devontae and Puka, but we got a lot of damn good football players on this offense, and those guys are starting to show why, you know, it is about the totality of the unit. I think Matthew's doing a great job of getting a bunch of people involved. Like we were just talking as an offensive staff, one of my favorite things is when you're using everybody, the most snaps that an offensive skill player played yesterday was 39. Kyron and Colby both played 39 snaps. But, you know, you're talking about Devontae and Puka and that just,
how,
you know, that
different
upper...
is this?
Yeah.
You know, everyone says, oh, look at all the talent they have. They have Devontae Adams. They have Kyron Williams. These guys are not playing a ton. Like, they're on the field, they're fresh, they're available. They're using other dudes you don't know the names of who aren't going to the Hall of Fame or the Pro Bowl a lot too. And he's talking about maximizing everyone. To me, that's what coaching is. So are you having more injuries and more cluster injuries than the Rams? Yes. But whether it's the Niners or the Rams or the Lions who just came in here and dominated you. By the way, they were without three of their five offensive linemen during some of those touchdown drives. Why is it that other teams and other staffs have just done a better job masking these deficiencies? I think it's a fair question.
Yes, it is.
I don't have a good answer. In fact, it's a rhetorical question because I know that you've dealt with more injuries. I'm not asking for great, but I would like not embarrassing. I would like not the worst in 22 years when it comes to losing by 21 four straight weeks. And the teams that are having a lot of injuries around the league just are doing a better job dealing.
Yeah, and there are a couple teams that aren't, and Washington's one of them. You know what I mean? There are some where it's like, oh my God, look at the laundry list. Like if you just go to the injury report, it's a dozen or so names, and it's bad. And there's basically that's the dividing line, right? Is if you're handling it well, see San Francisco, see Tampa, see the Rams, et cetera. But you go down through the game logs, play logs. I mean, guys are constantly banged up. Nacua's always missing stuff. To me, it's always. I remember years ago when we had Kirk Cousins on the show once, and at that kind of end of season deal we did at Jam and Java. We asked him every question you could ask somebody about the previous season. And I remember saying, you guys dealt with so many injuries this year. And it still seemed the offense kept going. The offense kept going. It mattered, but, you know, you were still finding a way. Then all of a sudden it fell off. What was the turning point? And he said losing Chris Thompson. And you kind of went, what? The third down back that only played, what, 26 to 30-some percent of snaps? And his point was that was the last easy thing. That was the last fixer. That was the last threat. And once that was all removed, you know, you can only get by so far on scheme. And so this is a less complicated answer than the real answer, because as you said, it would take somebody with a PhD in football, and even another PhD in football could argue about this. But to me, you keep looking back at it, there's at least a threat every time with that Rams offense, for example. Just to pick that as, I know it's not the end all be all, but even if Nacua's not out there, Adams is. Even if both those guys are banged up for a play or two, you still have something that scares a defense. Whereas Washington all of a sudden looked up in the, you know, and they're kind of looking around going, oh my God, there's nobody. There's no one that scares you, and defense is caught on. It's not just good defenses shoved in on them. Chicago and Dallas, two of the five worst defenses this sport has, weren't threatened. And that tells you to me the entire story of this year. Every inch is, you know, that speech from the football movie with Al Pacino. You know what I mean? Like any given Sunday.
Inches we need are everywhere around us. It's the 6 inches in front of your face.
And that's Kingsbury talking about the offense, because that's all we can do at a time. We are matriculating old school Newt Rockne style. We're going wing tee up in this biatch. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. There is no threat, and everybody knows it. I think that's the seminal difference. So it's injuries, it's bad planning. It's also the one thing you couldn't afford to lose, it turns out that you lost.
I think there's something to that, you know, that they probably would tell you there's three or four things they couldn't afford to lose that they lost.
Right.
But yeah, they have it worse. I am acknowledging that, and yet I need so much more.
Agreed.
It's just not good enough. If I failed a test and went home and I said, hey, but look, I didn't get sleep, and we had to do this 2 nights ago, and then I was taking care of the neighbor's dog this night, and whatever, my dad would go, yeah. You got a 29 on the test. Get a 65 next time. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, they're not getting a 65 and failing. They're getting a 22. I'm not asking for an A or a B. Get a D. Lose and don't get blown out. That's the new bar for this team.
Yeah.
Just lose normally. Just don't get embarrassed. Maybe with the leveling down of competition here, with the gauntlet being in the rearview mirror, you get to play Miami. You had been 7, 8, 9, 10-point underdog. Now it's only a couple points. So maybe this is the week that that happens. Speaking of betting lines and predictions, it is time for our confidence points picks in Week 11. It is time for our confidence points picks.
It is, yeah.
Thank you, Big Voice Guy.
Hi, Big Voice Guy.
How's it going? Darius, would you mind giving us an update on the scoreboard in confidence points picks going into Week 11?
I would love to. That darn Big Voice Guy, he just does what he wants sometimes.
Every now and then, he's just not locked in.
He's acting like he runs the show. It's so weird. After 10 weeks of play, the standings are as follows. Madrid Toby is in the lead still with 32 points. I am in second place with 30 points. It looks like third place is Ryan with 28 points. Fourth place, Grant Harrison Paulson at 27, and Danny bringing up the rear with 22 points.
I mean, I have just free-fallen of late. Got to pick it up. I've gone from near the top of the board to down in Dannyville.
Well, I think I've been mathematically eliminated. I think. I have to double-check on that. I think if I get every pick right, I still don't get out of last place.
No, you're only 5 points down. If you get all three of your bets right this week, you're right back in the thick of things.
Mm.
So Toki Altizer will have to make his bets when he gets back from Madrid. But we can go round the horn here. Darius, you're going to, and this might be the first time ever, get to lead off in first place with Toby not being here. We're going to go 3, 2, and 1 point plays looking ahead to Week 11 in the NFL.
That stings a little bit, you put it that way.
I'm just giving you some love.
A little tap to the chest. I'm going to go with San Francisco -3. They are at Arizona. Arizona came back to earth last week after a little run with Jacoby Brissett where they got smacked around by the Seahawks. I think San Francisco is feeling rough after their beat down to the Rams. They need to bounce back in a big way to keep up with the Rams and the Seahawks. They're going to put it to Arizona. San Francisco -3 is my 3-point play.
My 3-point play, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers +5.5 against the Bills. I have them going in Buffalo and potentially winning that football game. I know this might be like a dead cat bounce situation for the Bills coming off a loss against Miami. I love Todd Bowles and what they have done in the Buccaneers offense there. I think that this could be an upset week. I really like the Bucs.
Bucs coming off of a loss as well, so you could benefit from that little bounce. I'm going to go Chiefs -3.5 in their game over the Denver Broncos. I wish this was 2.5, but I'm not getting that on FanDuel right now. 3.5 point spread. I think this game's way bigger for Kansas City than Denver. I also think Bo Nix has played very, very poorly of late. You're starting to get some national attention on this as well. If the Broncos lose this game, they're in a little bit of trouble, and Kansas City is all of a sudden looking pretty to get back into the thick of things to win the AFC West. So, Chiefs need it. I think their defense will give Knicks fits. The Denver offense has scuffled for much of their last few games. Give me the Chiefs laying 3.5.
I randomized all teams that are playing this weekend, and I have three selections. And based on those three selections, the first one is the Baltimore Ravens -7.5. They're playing Cleveland, who I think stinks. So, that actually is not terrible.
You know that bingo board that one of our listeners made? I think it was Nate Elgin.
Yes.
Made it. That should be on the bingo board, that the annual Danny does the randomizer
the bit. Randomizer right.
For confidence.
Danny
picks.
Sandbagging the pick segment.
Yeah, that should be on the bingo board. Let's do that, Nate.
We got 10 weeks out of the segment this year before he did it, so that's good.
My 2-point play, I have Cincinnati covering +5.5 in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's poopy. Cincinnati's not much better, but They beat the Steelers earlier in the season, and I think Joe Flacco and the boys can go in there, at least hang in there within 5.5 points in Pittsburgh.
It is odd. To me, that line is big.
It seems like it, yeah.
Pittsburgh covering 5.5, just scoring 5.5 for them is a challenge, let alone covering 5.5. Clary, two-point play.
I'm riding with you, GP. I've got the Chiefs minus 3.5 going up in Mile High. I love Pat Mahomes. I think he's kind of starting to get a little bit better this season in this offense. They're starting to gel a little bit more. So I think right now going against a Broncos team with an offense that is really starting to look bad with Bo Nix at the top there, I like the Chiefs winning by a touchdown or so.
I like Clary. He says Mahomes, who was like a favorite for MVP 2 weeks ago, is starting to turn it on this football season.
Well, I meant the offense a little bit. They're really starting to look good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that firsthand a few weeks ago, 28-7 at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. All right, how about, I hate this number. So Clary and other guys that bet probably, you know, pretty frequently will say, oh, you never take this number. I'm getting 3 points, which is, I want to, you know, a half point either direction almost. But the Seahawks catching 3 against the Rams. I think they win this game outright. I love Seattle. They're my number one team in my power rankings if I'm ranking 32 NFL teams this weekend. It's going to be tight. Comes down to a field goal. They could very easily lose this game by a field goal, and then it's a push, and I lose the bet. But because I'm catching points as the team that if I was betting a money line play, and I may actually sprinkle that a little bit, you get plus 138 on the money line this weekend, I'm going to go Seahawks plus 3 in L.A., match up for first place in the NFC West, Mr. Hootie.
Two of the three or four best teams in the league going at it right there. San Francisco minus 3. Darius covered reasons, but I don't have any of them. I have a randomizer.
It's just so unbelievable. For my one-point play, I played a Ben Johnson alert sounder and didn't have the PC fader up. So, Ben Johnson alert.
Go ahead and play it again. I want to hear it.
You can play.
Why not? Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson.
The Bears are in Minnesota, and they are catching plus 2.5. I'm going to take the Bears to cover that plus 2.5 because J.J. McCarthy is not going to get as lucky as he did in week one and beat the Bears in comeback fashion. It's not happening.
This is a big game for Chicago. Be a hell of a win for them. They'd be 7-3 with a division and a conference win. Dad's one-point play. Clary, you got a one-pointer from the free throw line.
Yeah, I do. I've got the Browns plus 7.5, and I think that an AFC North matchup in Cleveland, like, that is a tough place to play. The wind could be howling there on the lake. You never know what's going to happen in Cleveland, and I like Myles Garrett making a huge play to potentially win that football game. The Browns plus 7.5.
They're playing the Ravens, by the way, in Cleveland, taking on Baltimore, so you got them covering the touchdown. Low total because of the weather, I think, too. 39.5 points in that game. Lamar didn't practice yesterday. Did he practice today?
He did practice today, yes.
Okay, so he always has these weird mystery. Like
one and a half times per year.
No, whatever that is. No one knows why, but he's just like, Lamar's not feeling very good.
His tummy ache.
But if it sounds like he's trending toward playing, then 7.5 makes sense for a line. I'm going to go Packers minus 7 in their matchup. Green Bay's playing the New York Giants. Jameis Winston is getting the nod for the Giants in this game. I'm counting on a couple of Jameis takeaways here. A couple of interceptions from Jameis Winston. Also, do the Packers plan on being good this season or not? Because it's getting dark early for them a little bit here. They've lost back-to-back games to the Panthers as 13-point favorites, then the Eagles in kind of a pick-em that was right there for the taking all night long. They have 4 times this season not won when they should have. Cleveland, Dallas, Carolina, and to a lesser extent, the Philly game, the way it played out. But 3 times as heavy favorites, they haven't won. This is just one of those games where if you want to keep saying there's not a real issue, Micah Parsons is arguing with everybody all week long about how they're actually really good and they're close, then go out and beat the Giants handily.
Do something.
And I think they're motivated to do so. They're in New York, but it's not like a terrible place to go play from a fan or an environment standpoint. So I'll say the Packers on the road get a win by 8 or 9 points and cover against the Giants.
I was thrilled that oldrandom.org included this one because I would have picked it anyway, which obviously is pretty scary. But Washington is playing a football game. They've been outscored by north of 20-plus points in 4 straight weeks. They're terrible. Right now, they're the worst team in the NFL in this country or abroad. Miami, minus 2.5.
So there you go. There's our confidence points pick segment on Grant and Danny. Toby with 32 points. Darius has 30. Ryan has 28. I've got 27. And Danny, who's now started randomizing his picks, because why not, is in last place. You don't want to finish last. You've got to do something really embarrassing if that happens. Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll get your preview in just a moment. A couple of you have been waiting, though, so let's hit the phones. Vic's in Akakeek on GND. Vic, the Commanders last year won 12 games. This year could lose 12 games. Which one is the truer season to what they actually are?
I don't know just yet, Danny, and I'm being real plain and Grant when I say that, because every year that we went to the playoffs since I've been watching us, and every year that we have the following year, there's one thing that I've always seen. We have not been able to handle success. And all of the years I've seen it after that, and all of my passion, frustration, me and Vince arguing about what it is, what it's not, calling on the radio with you all, the lack of accountability to what helped us be successful the year before, guys having something to prove, whether it be coaches and players, the fundamentals of how they're playing, the intentionality and intelligence of how they're playing, the much more discipline and how they're playing. The next year, it's always you don't see it. So I can't say, I've always said, I can't say the Commanders suck. Like, they really just are not a good football team, personnel-wise, and all those things. And I know personnel matters. Unless I see us do all the things right and we still suck.
Right. Well, you're not going to see that probably anytime soon. I don't know how many teams do all the things right and still suck. I think when you do a lot of things right, you're probably not very bad anymore.
Yeah, the bottom can't fall out like this.
Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington, wants to hop in on the fan. Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. So just real quick, you guys have covered most of it, but we all expected the regression. And what we didn't expect was the plague of injuries, but injuries happen. The biggest thing that we didn't expect, and you've been hitting on it today, Grant, is I don't think we expected the step back we've seen from Kingsbury, and I don't think we're expecting just our coaching to be raising so many questions. And I'm not talking scheme so much as play calling, whatever. We just are not making smart coaching decisions. So I think this is probably more the norm this season. And we've got Jaden Daniels and a whole lot of holes. One other thing I want to say, because I told this to Dad. Can you imagine if this year was last season with our output? Would we have that stadium in D.C.? I'm wondering. Thank God it was last year and not this year. Because honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny.
No, I know. It's a good point. I hadn't thought about it, but that is real.
I think they would have, because the ownership group's still giving $2 billion. D.C. still only having to shell out the $1 billion. And they are still getting the project and the full court press.
But those wheels got greased, though, man, by them being the cool kid.
I think it helped, for sure, no doubt. But I still think it would have happened, but it's a very real question. Also, and maybe this is something we could address tomorrow when we're out at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly, but the Lions fan base took over that stadium on Sunday, just like the old days. I don't know how much that's been talked about on the air, how many people have brought that up, but I was at the game, and I can promise you, especially the away side of the field, like it was some neutral site college football game, was Honolulu Blue. I know they travel pretty well, and we're in D.C. and all the normal prerequisites of there's a lot of people who live here. That was 5, 10, 7 years ago. I mean, that was a complete takeover. The attendance it's still sold out every single week, but the butts in seats is dwindling some. The energy in the stadium, understandably, when you're getting worked by 3 touchdowns, is falling, and you have now seen a couple of games recently where it's like the old days with the visitors. You've still got division games at the end of the year. Christmas with the Cowboys. You've got the Eagles are going to be surging as they come to Landover. You've got the Giants. I guess that game already was here early in the season.
Yeah, but they played at home.
You've got some division games coming up, some regional games coming up for Washington where, you know, I don't know how like the Denver fan base travels, but between Denver and Philly and Dallas and the rest of the home slate, are we back to takeoverville at that stadium where people, after last year, they've just kind of said, that was fun, but I'm not going and sitting there for this team this year?
Yeah, you put your tickets
like
on.
Against Detroit.
Well, we know that the season ticket numbers went up. We know people were buying in, but I think what happened is they went, oh, my God, this is a disaster. Let me make some money back. I'll sell it to the Eagles, Cowboys, or Broncos fan.
Jeff, you didn't think last year was a fluke, so it means you think that this year is the anomaly then, right?
Yeah, Grant, man. I think that last year wasn't a fluke because we saw Jaden Daniels. We got a QB1, 30 years old over here, never seen one before in my life. So it was definitely not a fluke. Jaden definitely did his thing. I really just feel like the talent around the team, man, definitely needs to just improve, and we just need to build around this guy, man, and rally around him, man. How about we protect this guy and not turn him into RG3 number two in a wheelchair? I would appreciate that.
Well, I think they're trying to. I mean, in fairness, and this is a bigger story for, you know, topic for another day, I don't know what they've done to really put him in harm's way, per se, unless you're saying they should just never allow him to run, which is not reality. I mean, it's not like he's getting crippled in the pocket. There was one game, the last game he played against Seattle, where he got destroyed from a pass rush against one of the better pass rushes in the league. Those games occasionally happen. He got pressured 52% of the time, which was a career high. But by and large, he's run, and he's taken some hits, or fluky things have happened, and he's gotten hurt. I'm not blaming. This is not a Shanahan's, you know, running him 14 times and while he's limping, keeping him on the field situation that people have alleged with Robert Griffin in the past. Capitals play tonight. Let's get you a power play.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders, available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Danny, they're at the Florida Panthers tonight, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, just 8-7-1 to start the season. Florida has dealt with some injuries, but old friend Brad Marchand was one of the most annoying players in the league's
of all time, if I could even say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him, not even a little bit. Now's the time to get them. I fully suspect them they'll be back and be a threat to win the cup again and be one of those formidable teams. But right now, they're just kind of treading water. Let's go ahead and get out of there with 2 points, please, and thank you.
Enjoy the Caps tonight. John Walton's coming up, and then pregame and eventually puck drop here on The Fan. Thursday night football, Jets, Patriots this evening. The kickoff slated for 8:15 is right around an hour and a half from right now. So if you've got plans to watch the game this evening, enjoy yourself. Kicking off week 11. We are at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly tomorrow. We're out and about from 2 to 6:30. Come out and see us right off Route 50 in Chantilly. The show is live on site for a Friday field trip series that continues. Thanks to Darris, Ryan, Wes, behind the scenes today as always. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Enjoy your Thursday evening.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure.
Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.